Okay. This is going to be the last lecture on the page importance measures based on link analysis. So we'll spend some time. We already talked about authorities hubs and page rank computation. Today we'll spend some time comparing them, thinking of their trade-offs, and also, for example, also combine the link-based importance with similarity. Remember, we spent a whole bunch of time talking about how to rank pages in terms of similarity. Now we have a way of, ranking them in terms of importance. The question is, how do you combine them so that you have a single ranking? Okay, that's another thing we'll talk about. We will talk about the stability and robustness of these methods. The difference is, when you have these kinds of metrics, you have to think in terms of two types of sensitivity of these measures to two types of changes to the network. One is random perturbation. So somebody makes an extra page, just randomly removes some links or adds some links, or and how much does that change the page rank or the authorities hubs? The other thing, of course, is robustness to adversarial attacks, because after all, we realize that we are going to have people trying to improve their importance by adding extra links. So how are the stability and robustness for these ideas we've discussed? So that's the other thing we'll do. And then we'll also discuss, actually I forgot to mention here, some issues in actually computing page rank on a web scale matrix, efficiency issues. Okay, so that's what I am planning to do today. Before I go forward, are there any questions? Okay, so the first thing I wanted to do is, since it's been a couple of days, let's look at an example, just so that we're all back in the same place in terms of. Let's take a specific network, this one, and then I'm going to just show you. So here you have Q1, Q2, Q3 are pointing to P1 and P2, and P1 is pointing back to Q1. Okay, then we'll just try to see, get a feel for how authorities hubs and page rank scores compare in this case. Okay, and this is also like a good example in case you want to check, one more example. So if you don't get these answers, then you're in trouble. You didn't understand how they're being computed. Okay, so if I'm doing authorities hubs computation, for this, I will need an adjacency matrix. So an adjacency matrix will look like this. Here is my Q1, Q2, Q3, P1, P2, Q1, Q2, Q3, P1, P2. And I'll put a 1 in an element if, in fact, there's a link from Q1 to P1. Right? That's the idea. Okay, and so Q1 is pointing to both P1 and P2, that's why there's a 1 and 1. So that's the A matrix, and now we know that authority and hub scores can be computed in terms of the eigenvalues of the primary eigenvector of A prime A and AA prime. I'm sorry, A transpose A and AA transpose. And I went ahead and computed that for you, and these are the values. So this middle part, you don't care. The only reason you need this middle part is this is the eigenvalues. Okay, and you always, the way you figure out where the primary eigenvector is by looking at the column corresponding to the largest eigenvalue. Okay, so here this is the largest eigenvalue. So, and this is the authority values, and these are the hub values. Okay, so first let's see if it sort of makes sense. We are basically saying P1 and P2 are the biggest authorities. Sort of makes sense because they are the ones being pointed to by most nodes. And we are saying Q1, Q2, Q3 are hubs. Okay, among Q1, Q2, Q3, Q1 and Q2 have higher hub values than Q2. And that's because Q1 and Q3 are both pointing to both P1 and P2, whereas Q2 is only pointing to P1. Okay, so intuitively it makes sense. And this is actual values based on just the eigenvector computation, and it also sort of makes sense. Okay? So now if I were to do the same thing, so take the same exact graph, but do page rank analysis now, page rank computation now. Okay, and I want you to see essentially one of the ideas is to first of all realize that you could have done either of them, and secondly to see whether how does numbers compare. Okay, so to get the page rank, okay, so I have to compute the M star matrix. And now the M star matrix, basically, if you remember, each column here, so this corresponds to the Q1, Q2, Q3, P1, P2. And in each of them, the numbers correspond to, if you are starting from Q1, what is the probability that you will stay back in Q1? That's 0.04. And similarly, what's the probability that you would go to P1? It's 0.44, P2, 0.44. And remember, the way M star matrix is originally made is you take this matrix, transpose it, and when you transpose it, basically, so this becomes a column for Q1, and so this is 0, 0, 0, 1, 1, and so that first becomes half, half, because that means there are two rows, so Q1 can go to either P1 or P2, so we'll assume it will go with half probability to P1 and half probability to P2. Okay, having done that, in fact, is there, so when you do all that, so similarly this becomes half, half, this becomes just 1, this is half, half again, this is still 1, and this is a row of all zeros. When you have a row of all zeros, that corresponds to what node? A sync node, because it's not pointing to anybody. That means its column would be all zeros, and we know that the way we will change that is to say from that place, actually you will go to any place with equal probability. That was our idea. So we were going to just make this, what, there are 5 by, 1 by 5, so 0.2, 0.2, 0.2, 0.2. Okay, that would actually be an M, that would actually be a, the first version of, so you go from normalized, so A prime transposed, so A transposed, normalized, and then you take care of the sync nodes, then you will get that matrix I was telling you. So that will have 0.55, 0.5, 0.5, and again, you know, 0.5, 0.5, these are all 0.2s, transpose. Okay, now I'm going to say with some probability I will do what the page asks me to do, and another probability I will just go everywhere. I mean, I'll do reset basically. So the way I computed M star in this particular case is I've decided with 0.8 probability I will follow the links. Okay, and with 0.2 probability I would reset myself. I mean, I'll go somewhere else. Now when I reset myself, I've decided in this particular computation I use the default reset distribution, which means that I am going to go to every one of the nodes with same probability. Okay, so the reset matrix is 0.2, 0.2, 0.2, 0.2, yeah, one more 0.2. Okay, that I would do that with 0.2 probability, which means essentially all zeros now will be 0.2 times 0.2. That's why you have 0.04 instead of zeros. Do you see what I'm saying? And then what used to be 0.5 would become 0.5 times 0.8. What used to be 0.5 probability will become 0.5 times 0.8, which is 0.4, to which you add 0.04. Okay, that's why I got 0.44. Do you see what I'm saying? There's no magic here. Okay, so that will be my M star matrix, and this is being computed with the assumption that reset distribution is uniform and that the impatience probability is 0.2. Okay, those are the two parameters. Now if I were to, this is going to be a stochastic matrix in the sense if you add each of these columns, they will be equal to 1.0. And the stochastic, and it would be an aperiodic and irreducible Markov chain, and so it's going to have unique steady state probabilities. Okay, and they would correspond to the primary eigenvector, I mean primary eigenvalue. And now stochastic matrices have the property that their primary eigenvalue will always be 1, and the other eigenvalues would be complex. The primary eigenvalue would be 1, and the eigenvector corresponding to that eigenvalue, when you normalize it such that it becomes a probability vector, would be the probabilities you have. So if I ask MATLAB, the eigen decomposition of M star, then I will get essentially 1.00, which this is the main eigenvalue, and the eigenvector corresponding to this is this. Now notice that these actually don't add up to 1, as I told you last time, because I asked MATLAB, it's going to give me a NOM1 vector. Okay. So then, of course, I can make them into probabilities by dividing each of these by the sum of all of them. But for our purposes, it's enough to actually see the relative sizes. Okay? So now, that's your page rank, essentially. Okay? So, what did we find out? Essentially, this one is 0.62, so Q1 is quite important, according to us. Okay? And P1 and P2 are also important. And we basically, so these are not surprising, these two are authorities, the authorities here are important according to PageRank. The main hub, one of the main hubs is still important. And what's the only thing that's probably slightly non-intuitive is that in the previous case, the two hubs here, one of them is 0.65 and 0.36, in now they both became of equal importance. Okay. So approximately, although there is no obvious correspondence, big authority and up scores will translate to big page value score, page rank scores. Okay, so if you are pointing to a lot of important people and they point back to you, in this particular case actually, well I'm sorry, hub values, if you are a pure hub, then your page rank will be low. Do you see what I'm saying? Because if you are a pure hub in the, unless by the random surfing itself, you will never come to a hub. Okay, so in this particular case, Q1 wound up being a better deal because P1 is pointing to Q1. And once you come to Q1 from there, you're going to the bigger authorities. So that's actually the reason why the other two hubs kind of lost out, because they don't have anybody pointing to them. Of course, they have somebody pointing to them. These weak links are pointing to them still, because everybody is pointing to everybody with respect to this reset distribution. These are these virtual links. Okay? So that's sort of, so the approximate, actually I should change this, that the big authority scores definitely translate into big page values, page rank values, and the pure hubs will sort of get out of the window, because there's no way of actually getting to them. So that's the kind of comparison between them. And this example shows also that you could do both analysis on the same graph, and you can decide which one is to your liking. Okay. In this case, especially since we kind of yelled at page authority subs last week and said, on a particular graph with two disconnected components, authorities hubs were just basically concentrating everything in the main component. Okay, that was sort of against it. Even though we knew that can be changed, that sort of looked against it. Now I would say that probably most people will think these are important, the Q3 is important page too, because it's pointing to lots of important pages. If you get there, you will be able to get to the right pages. Okay, and PageRank sort of misses that point. Okay, the important hubs should have again some authority, non-zero authority value, otherwise you're dead. Okay. That's basically my quick review of page rank and authority subs computation. Yes? The rest of the discussion is basically understanding the trade-offs. You don't really have to combine both of them. No, nobody actually does that, but there are interesting ideas. So what I described to you here essentially is the stripped down essential version of PageRank and authority subs. Okay? And then now we will be talking about a bunch of variations. For example, in particular, how do you use this to combine it with a similarity rank? Okay. Now it turns out that when the authority subs paper was written, it assumed a certain model of combining authority hub scores with similarity. These guys assumed a different model, but it turns out those things can be interchangeable. Okay. So the reason I am doing it this way is this is the essential difference between the two ideas. From here on, anything I talk about, you can add that, you know, bells and whistles to either of them. Okay? Go back and look at the notes. Sorry. So basically, all I was saying was that M star, you know, you do the A star, the A transpose, and then make it normalized, and then take care of the sync node, and then add the probability of impatience. Okay. Okay. So now the first question we're going to discuss today, with both of these ideas in the back of our head, is how do you compute the importance? Actually there are two different issues whose answers are kind of interconnected. One is actually how to combine importance and similarity. And the other one is, when do you do the importance analysis? And for the reasons that become clear to you, these two are interconnected. Okay. So actually, this, just as we talked about actually two times up until now, we talked about ideas, the correlation analysis and latent semantic indexing. And they could be either done globally upfront or at the query time. Remember, we talked about global and local. We did this two times already. So by now, it should be obvious that, again, if you are asking when should I do the importance computation, you can either do it globally or with respect to a query. Again, that's the idea. Okay, so I could do globally. That means I compute authority hubs and page rank computation for the entire web graph upfront once. Okay, or I could do it somehow after the query has been specified. So basically, remember, both in LSI and correlation analysis, we would run the query, get top 100 results or so based on the similarity ranking, and then somehow use that as the seed for doing extra analysis of correlation analysis or LSI analysis. Okay, so the interesting thing is, of course, this one is cheaper to do, but it's being done in the most important time of the life of a query, which is after the query has been submitted and before the results are given. People get very impatient. Okay, this is much more complex to do, but it's done when the users aren't there. It's offline. Okay. Another interesting thing, of course, is if you do it this way, then you need to answer the question, how are you going to combine page similarity and page importance measures? There is no getting away from it. Whereas if I do it this way, I don't have to worry about it, because I use the page similarity to get the seed set on which I do the importance analysis. So among the things that are similar to the query, which are the important pages? Okay, so in some sense, if you do it query specific, if you do at the time of query, then you have a different way of combining importance and link. And here, on the other hand, you need to have some apples and orange combination, because there is this importance, this is similarity, you somehow have to do some kind of a weighted summation. Okay, so that's how this question and how you combine that importance and similarity are connected. Okay. Now, as it, again, this slide basically says you could do, whether you do it globally or locally is independent of whether you decide to do authorities, hubs, or page rank, which is actually true. But historically, you know, quote unquote, if you can call 1998 to be history, around that time, the paper on authorities, hubs essentially assumed they will do query specific analysis, even though nothing in their algorithm limits them to query-specific analysis. Okay, and the paper on PageRank assumed that they will do global analysis, even though nothing in their algorithm limits them to global analysis. So that's why I'm separating these, and they're saying that you could. This is an orthogonal issue from whether you want to do A and H or PageRank analysis. Okay, now One issue, of course, is, see, if I, with respect to the query specific, the big issue is, how do I start from, notice that for LSI and for correlation analysis, I could just say, take top 100 results and do LSI on them. Or take top 100 results and do correlation analysis on them. It's a little more complex here, because if I have top 100 results and just directly do the link analysis on them, it's possible that the 100 results are not actually pointing to each other at all. They're part of a big graph. It's possible that none of them are pointing to each other. Do you see what I'm saying? Right? So now, what you need to do is, in fact, you need to ask yourself, what exactly do you mean by starting with the top 100 results and doing link analysis? The basic idea, and I'll show you in a minute, is, so in some sense, here are your result pages. Okay? They're part of the big web graph. What we will do at the minimum is we sort of grow these into, we take into account all the pages they are pointing to and all the pages that are pointing to them. That would define a subgraph of the overall graph. And we will do authorities hub computation or page rank on that subgraph. So this is basically how we will evaluate query specific link importance. So that's a non-trivial detail. You know, this is called base set computation, and you know, all I'm saying is you can go like, you know, k levels deep this side, k levels deep this side, that will give you a subgraph, and then just do authority hub computation or page rank on that. Now, the larger the k, the bigger the graph. If you say k equal to infinite, then you get the entire web graph. So that's like basically doing query independent link importance. Okay, now I'm also calling, previously I used to call global versus local, but now I'm calling this global versus query specific. Really, local means query specific. So you are computing importance of a page with respect to the top k results, that top 1,000 results or 100 results that vector similarity gave you for that query, and then computed a subgraph around it, and within that subgraph you're deciding who are the big guys, who are the small guys. Okay? So that's one non-trivial detail. Here, the other non-trivial detail on this side is, if I already computed an importance measure, and at the query time I computed the similarity measure, how do I combine the similarity measure to the importance measure? Really, these are two different objectives. These are orthogonal objectives, and somehow you need both. Okay? All we know is, if it is important, as well as if I give you a page P1, which is, you know, suppose there's some units for importance as well as similarity. And if I give you page P1 and page P2 such that importance of P1 is greater than importance of P2 and similarity of P1 is greater than similarity of P2, then you would be a fool to give P2. You'd be a fool to rank P2 above P1. Everywhere else, there is no obvious answer as to who wins the race. Okay? Basically, these are two objectives. Importance is one objective, similarity is another objective. These are what are called multi-objective optimization problems. Okay? So, you have this in travel, right? For example, if you're trying to buy a flight ticket, I mentioned this in some other class, like in some of previous class, if you know that if you have one ticket which costs more and requires longer travel, another ticket which costs less and requires shorter travel, then it's a no-brainer. First ticket is worse than the second ticket. But as long as that's not the case, so this ticket costs more than this, okay, but it's shorter than this, then how do you compare these two? It depends. You know, you have your own different ways of, you know, some people might say, you know, time is more important, some people might say money is more important. Okay, so essentially when I combine it to a single objective, the best I will do ultimately is do apples and oranges combination. Okay, so in essence, what we'll actually talk about is, we'll assume that alpha times importance plus 1 minus alpha times similarity. Okay? The only concession we will give is that we will say, since every page, since you're doing global importance measure up front, the most of them already have some numbers corresponding to their importance. The only question is if they have non-zero similarity to the query. Right? If they have zero similarity to the query, then you can still say alpha times importance plus 1 minus alpha times similarity, and if importance is high enough, then the similarity doesn't matter at all. Right? So we will do a slight, you know, improvement, and we'll say that as long as similarity is not equal to zero, this is the rank. If similarity is equal to zero, we will say the rank is zero. Okay? That's the two ideas, two non-trivial ideas, yes.
Why do we need to calculate the subgraph? Why can't we consider every, like,
every node as things known and do the statement in another? Yes, but basically, yeah, the point is then you're completely ignoring the link structure of the web. Okay, that's the point. Okay, and then it would not tell you anything about who is important, who is less important. They'll all be equally important, assuming that they're all disconnected to begin with. In fact, you can check it yourself. If I give you a disconnected graph, that means an n-vertex graph with n components, then you do page rank analysis with this, you know, basically this reset distribution, et cetera, et cetera, then you better make sure, I mean, it better be the case that the steady state distribution will say you have the same probability of being in any of the states, which is no use, right? You may as well have saved your time instead of doing the analysis. Okay, so you want to take into account the web link structure, but if not the entire web, at least the one that is surrounding you. Okay, so that's what you do in the query specific. So I explained both the ideas. Now let me just quickly go through the slides. So this and this basically, as I said, those are the two important questions and their answers are connected. So this is basically the base set. So you have the results, you take the forward set, which are the pages they are pointing to, you know, k levels of pages that are being pointed to, and the back set, which is the k levels of pages that are pointing to the guys in the middle. Okay, so this is how you're starting where you are, and since you have access to the entire web graph, then you compute the subgraph. And then with respect to the subgraph, you do your page rank or authority subs analysis. Notice, of course, that if you are trying to do this without having access to the entire web graph, right, then you can very easily figure this out, because you know what are the, you know, what pages are being pointed to by these guys, but you cannot get the back rank, right? Because who is pointing to you, you will know that only if you have a crawl of the entire web and you figured out who is pointing to who. But we assume that, in fact, when you're doing these link-based importance measure, you do have the entire web graph in front of you. You chose to do importance computation only with respect to the base set, not with respect to the entire web graph. Yes, sir. No. You are doing this to figure out which are the authoritative and hub pages. So where did you get the authorities and hubs? You must have done them again separately some other time. So this is like, you know, what comes first, chicken or egg? I mean, if you, once you have the base set, then you figure out who are important and non-important pages. So you could do, you may be thinking about some idea where you actually go ahead and do global analysis, computed the authorities, hubs, or page rank, and then you redid the local analysis. That's not particularly bad. Nobody does it, but you could do that. That's the only time you could decide, you know, whether or not you included certain pages. I understand. It's a variation you're talking about. There are multiple variations you can try. Okay? But all I'm saying is right now I'm separating local from global. Those are two different ideas. Now you can start looking at the spectrum of ideas in between. Okay? So that's for the base set, and this is query dependent ranking. Okay. Now, if you, for the other guy, that's what I said. So if you are doing a global analysis of importance, you need to combine it with the similarity. You just say, you know, W times similarity plus 1 minus W times the importance measure, as long as similarity is not zero. Otherwise, you will just say the whole thing is zero. Okay. The biggest worry about global analysis is that you will give as answer to anybody's query the most important page in the world. Even if it's not, in fact, if you are one of those people who have a query whose answer is not in the most important page, right? So the similarity to the page will be low, but the importance of the page is high enough that you will keep saying for everybody, the answer is Yahoo, the answer is White House, the answer is whichever is the most important page. But people don't just want the most important page, they want the most important page that gives the answer to their query. Okay, so in a way, this idea is more natural. You take the answers, the potential answers to your query, and among them you try to rank them, which are more trustworthy. This idea has the advantage that you don't do any computation after the query has been submitted. But it has the disadvantage that you tend to push the important guys, whether or not they're relevant. And there's no obvious way to avoid these trade-offs. You know, it's a question of you are, you know, pushing the computation to query time versus before. And then it makes it, now we will talk towards the end, we will talk about if you were to do, I mean, there is a great advantage of doing things beforehand, you know, at the global analysis, is you amortize, right? Now, we would agree sort of that the best importance measure would be completely query specific. That means it's only done after the query. A sort of an in-between idea could be compute for each page k page ranks corresponding to k topics. Okay, so each page will have a sports page rank, a politics page rank, a science page rank, a finance page rank, and so on. And when I say page rank, I also could mean authority subs. Okay, now I could do this upfront. So each page now in the very beginning, in the web graph level, I would compute k importance measures, k topic specific page importance measures. Okay, and then when the query comes, I can then essentially see how much of, how similar is this query to each of these topics. And if this query is more of a finance query, then I tend to use the finance importance measure. If it is a politics query, I use the politics importance measure. Okay? If I do this, I can actually have best of both worlds. Okay? So in essence, I mean, to some extent, best of both worlds. So I will wind up doing extra computation, but upfront. Okay? And then I'm combining the importance measures based on the topic of the query. Okay? So the point I'm trying to make is there is a spectrum of ideas. I'm just giving you two extremes. One is global, one is local. But the idea that I just described to you is called topic-specific page rank. Okay? I mean, you can call it that. And now, how would you compute a importance measure that is somehow more specific to politics versus finance versus something else? If I'm trying to compute the page rank measure on the web metrics, except rather than compute one size fits all, I want to compute for each page one rank thinking I'm interested, the query is going to be about finance. Another rank thinking the query is going to be about politics. A third rank thinking the query is about science. How do I do this? What will change in the way I compute my page rank? The important thing, of course, is the reset distribution. Remember, I was using the reset distribution, which is 0.2, 0.2, 0.2. Reset distribution is a terrible thing to waste. By making it uniform, you made it contentless. Okay? If you want to say, I want to have an importance measure that is that's more sensitive to politics, then the reset matrix will have the same columns. I mean, each column would be the same, but the columns don't have to be uniform. They don't have to be all 0.2, 0.2, 0.2. From each page, the probability that you would go to a, if it's a politics page rank, then from each page, when you are bored, the probability that you will go to a politics page is little higher than any other page. So the same probability mass is distributed such that more of it goes to the politics and the less of it to the rest of the world. If you do that, you get a slightly different page rank for each page. Okay? Do the same thing now with science. Do the same thing now with another topic. Okay? Since I spent all this time talking about topic-specific page rank, let me actually go ahead and officially show you the slides that I was only going to show much later, since I'm done, because since you explained it, when I go back, I will just I'll just put it earlier. So, you know, this was one of the things I was going to discuss much later, but, you know, in terms of the variants of the page rank, one of which is topic-specific page rank, okay? And in fact, in all these types of page rank, I mentioned it last class too, if you want to change page rank, the way to change it is to change the reset distribution. Topic-specific page rank will use topics to redefine the reset distribution. Trust rank, which we will not talk about now, but after we complete social networks, will basically compute, you know, it will say that when you have nothing to do, you would go to more trustworthy sites with higher probability than less trustworthy sites. Recency rank says when you have nothing to do and we are bored, you will go to the more recent pages with higher probability than less recent pages. Okay? And a completely user-specific page rank can also be computed. Okay? I mean, if Google is nice to you, they can compute a user-specific page rank. Okay? And that would actually compute a reset matrix which is specific to you. So you are one of these guys who seems to be going to these 28 pages whenever you're bored. So I might as well just give them much higher, you know, weightage than everybody else. Then that would be a page rank that is specific to you. Okay, when I was originally writing these kinds of things, it looked as if making any user-specific measure of importance looked as if it is way beyond the realm of feasibility. But I don't know how many of you looked at most recent Google development. They now say, we are going to give you results which are more specific to you by exploiting your social network. Okay? So this is not as far-fetched as it might seem. You know, so you can also do this. Yes, sir?
Well, they already do something like that with the web history now, based on
the past. Yes. What I'm saying is, so, but you can also compute the importance of the pages, not just the similarity, but the importance of the pages based on your profile. Okay? But I'm just saying that even page rank can be made, user-specific page rank, by just taking into account your reset matrix. Everybody has a separate reset matrix. So we went from zeroth order, where the entire world has one reset matrix, to k reset matrices of k different topics, to a reset matrix which is kind of sensitive to trust, to one which is sensitive to recency, to one which is separate for each user. Okay, just a second. And then this is the idea I was mentioning, the topic-specific page rank. And, you know, basically I described this. You can read this more carefully later on. Basically, for each page, you are computing k different page ranks, okay, where k is the number of, and now the question, of course, is you might ask, where will I come up with the topics? How do you know that it should be looking at science, politics, and finance as the more important, the high-level topics? What they did, Taher Haveliwala is the guy who did this work. We'll actually look at his work second time in the class when we talk about efficient page rank computation. And not surprisingly, he's no longer heard from because Google followed him. Okay, and they basically paid him way, you know, huge big money, and then he's working for Google. But anyway, so his idea when he was a student, and he was still actually allowed to write papers, was essentially to decide what topics you would go to any high-level portal which has, you know, which basically the topic portals like, you know, Yahoo or DMOS, which is this public domain directory, okay, and then look at the top names in that directory. Okay, so there is an arts, there is business, there is computers, there is games, etc., and you say those are the topics. Okay, and then when computing the page rank with respect to your topic, you say that with respect, with epsilon probability, we transition to one of the pages of the topic. In fact, higher probability, you will go to the pages of the topic, and with lower probability to anybody else. If you cannot put zeros in the reset matrix, you know why? If you put zeros, then the guarantee that the Markov chain is aperiodic and irreducible would go out the window. So So you do need to put non-zeros. All I'm saying is shift the importance such that the topic specific pages get more of the probability map. Okay? So you do that, and now of course the trickier issue is when the query comes, how do you decide its topic? And one idea of course is a cute idea. In fact, this is why, and I should also mention that when in doubt in this area, information retrieval area, you always try to see if I can do something with TF-IDF, vector space similarity matrix. Okay? If you have no other idea, first try that. Because it's always the second or third best way of solving any possible problem in information retrieval. And if you are smarter, you will have a better idea. Okay? So now I'm asking you, how do you know what is the topic of a query when I type a query in? Well, here is his idea. What his idea was go, you have this DMOS in front of you, right? So you take these names. Okay, for health, I make up a document called health, fitness, medicine, alternative. Okay, and compute the TF-IDF score between that document and the query. And so I computed the similarity of this query to each of these topics. I can normalize it and say this is the probability of membership of this query in each of these topics. Right? Now I can essentially compute, if in fact one of them is much higher than the other, I can just go ahead and say that query belongs to that topic. And so I just use that particular page rank. If it's in fact fractional membership, right, then another way of doing it is you take these similarities, normalized similarities can be seen as the probability that the query belongs to each of those topics. And now you have k different importance measures for each, you know, for any new page that you're trying to compare it to the query, that page has k importance measures, and you know the query's fractional membership in each of those topics. So you multiply the probability times the page rank, and you get the expected page rank. Okay? Very nice idea. And you do that, and then you actually, you know, of course, do the precision recall studies. Then you can actually show that, I mean, in fact, he showed, this is a very nice paper to read, by the way, available at www.2002. He showed that he is able to actually do better precision by doing this kind of an idea. Okay? So again, as I said, TF-IDF is the first thing. It's always the second or third best way of solving every problem in information retrieval. Okay, try that if you don't have any better idea. Yes, sir.
Can we use that feedback from user side that these pages should be there and these pages should not be in that?
Yes, you can. I mean, there, again, I'm giving you one idea here, but there are many other ideas. You know, you're saying take the feedback from the user to talk about the importance.
And then apply that.
Possible.
TF-IDF,
yeah.
Because
of course.
That means the user is currently interacting with that system.
Yeah, but the point is most ideas on the web that involve direct feedback from the user die. Because users don't give feedback. Users want, you know, happiness without actually doing any work.
Whatever they click, it means there.
Yes, possible. That is possible to do. Okay? Okay, so this is topic specific page rank, and I mentioned this to you because you can also see this as a way of topic specific page rank can be seen as a middle ground between global analysis, which says one importance for each page, irrespective of the query, and local analysis, which says one importance for each query. But I will do the computation after the query has been submitted. Topic specific page rank can basically have best of both worlds to some extent. Okay. Okay. So we have answered the question of combining, and we have also the question of when to do the computation. And this slide basically says there are two alternate ways of computing the importance at the extremes, PageRank and Authority Sub. There are two alternate ways of combining them with important similarity. And you can pick one here, and you will get an approach. Okay? Although historically, Authority Sub did it with C1, and PageRank did it with global analysis. That doesn't matter. It doesn't matter what they did in their paper. You could do either one at any time. Okay. One other relevant idea, in fact, and Since I just said that if you are in doubt, you can always use TF-IDF for all sorts of crazy uses. Here is one other question. Remember we said, now what I'm talking about now is trying to improve the importance measures slightly. Okay? One issue is the following. If you are doing local analysis, okay, and so you got essentially a bunch of pages that are answers to the query, and then you computed the forward set, you computed the backward set, and you are now about to do the importance on them. However, so the query, let's say, is cat food. Okay, and then there are pages here, right, and there are linking to here, and they are being linked to here. Now the question is, are all links really equally relevant to the query? No page is ever about a single query, right? So it's possible that here is a page which says how to, you know, bring up a good cat, okay? And it might say cat manners here, and then it puts a manners link to a page explaining how, you know, good mannered cats will behave. And then much later down it says, here is a good link about what kind of food you should be feeding your cats. Clearly, I would say, now that I know what the query is, and now that I'm going to spend all my time doing importance with respect to the query, I should say this link is less important than this link, because this is actually about food, cat food. The other one is about cat manners. And what's even more crazy is at the end of each page, there will be a link to the counter.com. So that, you know, you could later on say 89 people came between 10 o'clock and 10:30 to my page. Now, if you don't take into account the fact that obviously this link has nothing whatsoever to do with the query, it's just a static link. It's a query independent link. If you do not differentiate between these links, you would say counter.com is the most important page in the base set. Do you see what I'm saying? So it would look as if you want to separate the links, saying that they are not all equally created. You know, the most important, a link by default will have a 1.0 strength. A link which is really not connected to the query has 0.5 importance, or maybe zero importance. With zero strength. So you want to differentiate between the strength of the links. Now the nice thing is, both authorities, hubs and PageRank could deal with matrices which they don't have to be 1-0 matrices, they can be any real valued matrices. So we have theory to deal with this. We just never had any use for this until now, and now I'm saying you may want to do this. Now the only question is, how do I figure out if I have all the time in the world? Remember, I'm already doing this at the query time. So there are only about 10 people in the world who would wait while I'm actually very carefully computing the relevance, importance of the pages in the base set. Okay, but I'm sure they're also going to hang around and say, look, take into account whether or not the link is really relevant to the query. How do you handle that? Well, take the anchor text around each link. Okay, either there is the text that's in the Ahref, or just, you know, if there's a link here in the page, take 10 words here, 10 words here, surrounding the link. Call that the query bag. Call that the anchor bag, okay? Compare that anchor bag to the query. Using what? TF-IDF. That'll give you a similarity, which is between 0 and 1. If it's 1, then it's a 1 link. If it is 0, it's basically 0 link. If it is 0.7, it's a 0.7 link. Again, you know, basically the same idea of TF-IDF similarity is now being used to differentiate between links of differing strength, differing context strength with respect to the query. Okay? In fact, that's something that, you know, you could do. So this way you can handle spam links to some extent with respect to the query. Okay? So you would not give counter.com as an answer. Now the next we'll actually talk about, this cannot be done in the global analysis, right? Can you do this in the global analysis? You cannot, because you don't know what the query is. Can you do it in the topic specific page rank idea? Yes, because you know what the topic is. So you can basically not only change the reset matrix, you can actually also change the web matrix, taking only into account the links that are relevant to that topic. Even a sports page will have a link to the counter.com. You will ignore that. Okay? So that's basically kind of allows you some context sensitivity and you know, cuts down some of the spam links. Okay? So these are a bunch of slides that are explaining. In fact, if you do not want to compute the actual importance, you know, by similarity, there is another idea, which is links which are within the same domain are probably less strong than links from one separate domain to this domain. This was an idea that Kleinberg was talking about in 1998 when he thought people can't just buy domains for like 2 cents each. Now, unfortunately, this idea is dead in the water because, you know, if you want to put links to yourself and make it sound as if it is coming from a completely different domain, you just pay $2 to some domain giver and then, you know, make an actual page there and then put a link from there to your page. Okay? So there is that idea too, but that no longer works. And there is this idea of taking the link context, which using, you know, anchor text and computing the TF idea. Those are all possible. Again, great ideas, but you have to realize that whether or not this will ever really see the light of the day depends on whether or not you have very patient users, because they have to wait after the query has been submitted. The version of this that can still work is the topic-specific version, where much of this can still be done for topic-specific page rank. And there is no paper saying that is being done, but nobody ever said they're not doing it either. Okay? If you and I can think about it, I'm sure other people are also thinking about it.
Clustering is different from that. Clustering is different from that topic.
Yes. But it will be interesting to talk about the connections between those ideas. But I came to it here mostly from the point of view of the link being sensitive to the topic. Okay, so now the last thing I said is spam, let's talk about stability of these ideas and robustness of these two ideas, authority subs and page rank. Okay, so stability basically is this issue of if you do random perturbation, how much would the importance change? And again, remember what I said, it's almost less important as to what you say is the relative importance of each page. And it's more important to stay strong and stick to your words when a few extra links are added. Because if you keep changing your mind, like, you know, between every 3 seconds, in every 3 seconds as to who is the most important page, then nobody is going to believe you. Okay? So the question is, which of these are going to be more susceptible to, more sensitive to random links? And a separate question is which of them are more susceptible to adversarial co-opting of the importance measure. We'll talk about both of them. Okay. So with respect to the random changes, you shouldn't be surprised that the authorities hubs, as it came out of the original paper, which basically assumed it would not have any weak links, we already know that it was unstable, right? Because I pointed out that in this case, if you just add, if you have a thing like this, or you have a thing like this, then, so there are m plus 1 pages here, n plus 1 pages here, okay? So the total number of new links you can add is, you can take by random, you can randomly take any page from one class, you know, any page in this total number of pages, any other page, and put an extra link. That's an extra random link now. Now you can compute the probability that a link that you add that way would actually be short-circuiting the two clusters. Do you see what I'm saying? It bridges both of them. That means the first page is selected from one of them, second page is selected from the other of them. That's it. Divided by total number of, you know. So basically, the total number of pages is m plus 1 plus n plus 1, right? Square, approximately order square of this is the total number of new links you can add. Okay? Among these, only m plus 1 times n plus 1 links would short circuit the cluster. This is the probability essentially of a random link hugely changing the stability of page rank. Do you understand what I'm saying? Okay. So there is a reasonably high probability that random links can change for if you do not do this weak links idea. But I mentioned last class that if you do the weak links idea, then it won't change. Although weak links idea was sort of more obvious for PageRank because PageRank has analogy to Markov chains, and Markov chain theory tells you that unless it's a connected component, you would not have stable probabilities, steady state probabilities. Okay. So then, basically, we talked about this idea last time, and we pointed out that the moment you add that one extra link, between these two things, their importances change completely. Because previously this used to have all the authority and half, this used to have zero. One extra link added, suddenly the guys who used to have zero authority and zero hub will now have non-zero authority, non-zero hub. So there is an infinite percentage change in their importance. That's hugely sensitive to random perturbations. Right? So in general, random perturbations, if you want to actually be stable with respect to random perturbations, this idea of throwing the weak links is very useful. Okay. In fact, there's a very nice paper. I won't go into too much details about this, but those of you who are into the linear algebra of page importance measures might want to see this. This is a paper by Andrung back in 2004 or something. What he basically did was he compared the stability of authorities hubs as it came out of the original paper. That means no weak links. To PageRank as it came out of the paper, which means weak links. And what he did was he took a set of machine learning papers, and remember, machine learning papers are links between them. It's just that computers may not be able to see them because they are not href links, but papers talk to each other by citing each other. Okay, so I can construct a web matrix, I can construct a link matrix of all the papers. In fact, this whole idea of who is the most important paper is answered by saying a most important paper is the one which has the highest number of backlinks. The higher the number of citations, the more important. And it's also the case that if a textbook cites your paper, then you suddenly become way more important than somebody else whose paper has been cited by five people who wrote papers in some obscure conference. Okay, so citation analysis is always used to decide which papers are important, which are not important. So he basically did this page rank and authority sub computation on the site, importance of papers. And what he did was he looked at the original ranking, and if you do 30% additional random links, that means you put extra 30% citations. And those of you here who write papers know that citations are to some extent random, right? You normally have like 4 pages of citations when you have no real idea of your own. And then when it comes to the camera ready version and they say you must write the entire paper in 2 pages, now it's like crunch time. Maybe just my paper, my advisor's paper, and the paper of the guy who really killed me if I don't cite them. The rest go suck an egg. Okay, all their links are gone. And now again, now I'll say we are going to allow your paper to come into journal. We'll have 3 extra pages. Hey, let's put everybody happy. Let's put a lot more extra number of citations. So adding random citations is not completely out of the realm of feasibility, right? And so what he did was he added 30% random links. Random links. That means you randomly choose one paper and put a link from that to another random paper. Okay? And then he basically showed the change of the top ranked K papers before and after the change based on authority hubs analysis and page rank analysis. And the important thing is not authority hub versus page rank, but really whether or not these weak links are being allowed. And he found, obviously, not surprisingly, that authority hub values change a lot more because they don't basically upfront, they depend on the actual matrix. And if you wind up kind of combining clusters, suddenly you threw in a random link from database paper to a networks paper, then suddenly you messed up the authority hubness of all the papers in the, you know, computer science. Okay, just a second. So basically he looked at this, and this was in fact one of the obvious things that we already know. He actually did it on real data, and what's more interesting is he provided a very interesting analysis of that. And it turns out that, of course, if you do weak links, you have no problem. Okay, but if you, the other question is, under what conditions is authorities hubs without weak links very unstable? It turns out the instability depends on the eigengap, the difference between the primary and secondary eigenvalue of the AA prime or A prime A matrix. Why? Here's a beautiful graphical analogy. Remember a while time, while back I pointed out that really when you're computing, you know, eigenvectors and eigenvalues, in essence you're trying to put an ellipsoid around the data. Okay? And you're taking the axis of the ellipsoid, the sizes of the axis of the ellipsoid become the eigenvalues, and the unit vectors in the direction of each of the major axes become the eigenvectors. If you have high eigengap, that means, you know, if in two dimensions, here is an ellipsoid and here is another ellipsoid. Okay? Here the eigengap is higher. That means one axis is much bigger than the other axis. That means it's already pretty oval shaped. So now if you perturb, when you perturb, then essentially it might, now this dotted line would be the new ellipsoid, which will have a slightly different dotted eigenvector, but they're close enough to the old one. That talks about this guy. The closest is, they're equal. So it's a nice circle, right? If you add a little thing, the circle becomes slightly non-circular. So all of us think it's still circular. It's like Earth. Earth actually is not spherical, right? So it has different axes, the major and minor axes. So the moment you put a little perturbation, essentially it looks, you would say, well, not too much change really here. Okay, but if you look at this dotted ellipsoid, which is, looks very much like circle, its eigenvector, primary eigenvector is this, secondary eigenvector is this. They're still very close, but they have changed like completely. Do you see what I'm saying? See, if you plight your fate to mathematics, you better understand what the math is doing, because the eigenvector computation doesn't really care about the importance. It's doing what it's doing, and you just decided to interpret it as importance. And so you need to understand what actually eigenvectors are doing. Okay, that's pretty much what happens when you compute eigenvectors on the AA prime, A prime A matrix. Okay, so to increase the stability, if you are into not doing weak links on the authority hubs idea, but still want to increase the stability, then Andrew Ng actually talks about an interesting idea, which is, notice that in this particular case, this is just two dimensions. Okay? What he basically suggests is, take the plane, take the hyperplane defined by, the plane defined by the primary and secondary eigenvectors. Take the plane defined by the primary and secondary eigenvectors. Unfortunately, because in this case the data is all two-dimensional, that's this plane. Okay? But if it's three dimensions, then the plane may be like this. Okay? Now, if the primary and secondary eigenvectors are very close, okay, this is primary, let's say, and this is secondary. Now, when I perturb the data, the plane within the plane, these values revolve. The plane itself doesn't change. Do you understand what I'm saying? Okay, so now what, how do you actually identify a plane in n dimensions? You think of the normal to the plane. Okay, take the cross product of these two. If you remember your vector ideas, take the cross product of these two, which will get you an orthogonal vector to this plane. Just think of that as important. And you might say, oh, that's not important, you know, I don't like it. And really, what matters is you stick to your importance. I mean, you say Bush is the more important president and keep saying it, and then he will become the most important president. Okay? If you keep saying it every, if you keep changing your mind as to what is important every day, that will become a problem. So in fact, he comes up with this idea where authorities hubs is changed such that the normal to the plane defined by the primary and eigenvector would be seen as the vector defining the importance of all the pages. And that would be stable. That will be more stable than the primary and secondary eigenvector. Okay? Again, it's a great paper which gives you like the background, a theoretical background of what's actually going on in terms of when you are plighting your fate and you're putting your fate in the hands of eigenvectors. Okay? But of course, when you use the weak links, in essence what you're doing is you're taking something, basically the weak links are essentially making sure, at least for the large, in most cases, that the instability goes away because there are no disconnected components. Okay. Now, this is an interesting point. So, if in fact, you have an authority hub computation which is highly unstable, right, but and it is sensitive to the disconnected components, so it's sort of, you have lemon. You can make lemonade with it. And you can say, well, who the heck cares about importance of pages? I can use this to figure out components of the web graph, communities in the web graph. So I won't introduce any more weak links, nothing. I will stick to ones and zeros, and I will say which terrorists are talking to which other terrorists. That's what I'm going to find. And you say this, DoD will give you lots and lots of money. Okay, so here was a lemon idea, which is unstable. You convert it into lemonade now, right? And how do you actually compute the connected components using authorities hubs idea? Well, you do know that if there was a big component, and if you were to run authorities hubs, then these guys will only have non-zero authorities hubs. These will have all zeros. So now you found the largest component. You have found the largest component now. Okay. Now, if you want to find the second largest component, remove all these nodes from the graph. Then run authorities hubs again. Then you will find the second largest component. Then you do the thing again, you will get the third largest component. Okay, so again, what you're doing is you're using the same idea, except it's unstable, but it actually is unstable because it's actually zeroing in on the components. So I would say I'll take that and say that's the feature, not the bug, and I can compute communities. Okay, this is a reasonably good idea for computing communities in a link matrix. And here is an example, which is a very old example. Basically, he was trying to compute the first answer to the word house. Okay, he was doing it with respect to base set. Remember, so he'll give a query house. Okay, then take the top k results, take the forward and back sets, and do the authorities hubs. And then here are some answers to the word, the query house. And the top house answers are Thomas, the U.S. Congressman, United States House of Representatives, Library of Congress, etc. Congress is winning hands down. Okay, now. What if you are looking for house MD, right? Are you looking for house repair? Are you looking for house prices? You won't get any of them here. If you were to remove these nodes from the base set and recompute and their links, and you were to decompute the authorities hubs, then you will get these answers. And this was, as I said, it's an old one, the pre-housing debacle, where the top answer, which is not about Congress, is how much house can you afford? And if you think you only can afford a $2 house, no, I have news for you. You really can afford $20 million house, and I'll give you the loan. And then that was the time. Okay? So you're able to get a diverse set of results from other components by just zeroing out one component. By the way, this is also an answer to the other point that somebody else was making, which is diversity and community computation are completely sort of different. Even if you do link analysis, you may still not get diverse results. For example, here, you got all results from the House of Representatives. But you need some from these guys too, because you might be interested in house repair. And then you may be interested in house MD. Okay? The last thing I guess I'll have time for in today's class is robustness against adversarial attacks. Random change is different. Random change is different from adversaries, right? How many of you have seen that movie 300, Battle of Thermopylae. What is the chance that the bad guys will stop you right in that place? If all the places where they can stop the road, what is the random chance that that particular pass will be closed? Very low. But if your adversaries have brains at all, what is the chance that that would be the pass that they will close? 1.0. Do you see what I'm saying? Randomness is completely different from adversarial. Adversarial reasoning, they will do the most damage to you. Okay, so just because you are stable for random changes doesn't necessarily mean you are robust with respect to adversarial attacks. Remember this, when we get to social networks, I will point out that in fact there are uniform random networks and power law networks, and they actually differ in terms of their relative performance with respect to random perturbations versus adversarial perturbations. Okay, but for now, if I am actually not doing random but adversarial addition of links, how stable can my, what ideas are stable and what ideas are not stable? What are robust and what are not robust? It's clear that if you are computing one measure for each page in the world, just one number, which is global analysis, you are asking for trouble. You're just asking for trouble. We just said, this is the reason. I mean, if I say your entire life depends upon your SAT score, you guys have brains, you will find a way of beating the system. You will suddenly increase your SAT score without actually doing anything different. Okay? So if you compute one importance measure for each page that will just haunt it for the rest of its life, then each page is now trying to get a better value on that. So adversaries will have more of an incentive to actually co-opt global page ranks. If on the other hand you are computing importance measures with respect to query, your importance changes based on the queries. It will be much harder to co-opt those. So upfront you can see that query specific analysis is harder to circumvent than global analysis. Okay. Now, why is in fact, in terms of global analysis, can I make things really go haywire? Yes, of course. We already know that if I had these two completely different components, adversary knows that the probability that they will put a bridge to, you know, change everything will be 1.0, because they know exactly what's the one link that would change everything. Okay. More importantly, adversaries will be selfish. They are interested in increasing their own importance value. So what can they do? They can ask their friends to point to them, and they point to their friends, and increase link density in a subgraph of the overall graph. The question is PageRank going to be sensitive? Is AuthorityHubs going to be sensitive? Okay, it looks like PageRank was winning, at least it was more stable, so let's see how it works. Okay, it's already, you're doing global analysis. So this was one graph where C is pointing to A, is pointing to B, B is pointing to C, and here is another graph, C is pointing to A, is pointing to B, B is pointing to C, okay, and except I put an extra link, C is pointing to B. So C and B started colluding. What happened? Now notice, of course, that if I do actual direct Markov chain analysis on these without weak links, etc., it's not even have a defined steady state probability because they are not aperiodic. It's a big cycle. The first one is a big cycle. But if I do the normal, you know, M star analysis, which has weak links and the, you know, the sinks taken care of, there are no sinks here essentially, then M star for this would be this, M star for this would be this. You can check that. Okay, and then if you compute the ranks here, as you expect, all of these will have the same rank. Again, this is the non-normalized. You divide it by, you know, the sum, then basically each of them have one-third, one-third, one-third as the page rank. This, on the other hand, suddenly for A becomes 0.37 and this is 0.6, 0.6. Okay, that means these two guys benefited at the expense of A. It's the same exact eigenvector computation. It makes complete sense. And so what does that mean? You can improve your page rank by getting all your people to point to you, all your friends to point to you and say, I will point to you guys. And then moreover, if you make a nice big highly connected component, now it's like buzzing with page rank. Then if anybody in this component then puts a link to me, and I'm not suggesting that you should do, but it's not a bad idea, then my page rank improves. You see what I'm saying? Okay, it's like, I mean, the best analogy I have is in winter you do like this, and you touch somebody, they get static electricity shock, right? So PageRank is like this. You keep pointing to each other, and you are now buzzing with higher PageRank. And if any of you point to anybody else, their PageRank improves too. Okay, so here is a nice commercial model, which is you get a page farm, you make a whole bunch of web pages which are like densely pointing to each other. And if they're, you know, since Google may not like all of them to be in the same domain, buy up huge number of, you know, arbitrary virtual domains and make them point, stay in those domains, and they're pointing to each other. And then now they're buzzing with this high page rank, and you pay them $10 a month, then they'll put a link from them to you. In fact, I think Yahoo also, given the way Yahoo's business is falling apart, can get into this. If Yahoo puts a link from their main page to my page, I'll pay them $10 per month, because I'll become very high page rank. Okay? So this is a good business model. And in fact, I think the guy called Search King did this for a while. And there's still lots of things are going on. Wait a second. Okay. So when you do this, then their page rank increases. Then what happens? Obviously, people would realize at some point of time that parts of the web are colluding. So since Google is owned by a couple of people, they can say every month, oh, Search King, huh? Okay, let's remove the whole guy out of the web matrix and recompute the page ranks. So now they become zero and they point to other people. In fact, they're getting any importance from me, not because of me getting from them. Okay? And so this is called the Google dance, which basically you recompute the page rank by removing all the offending parties. Okay? And unfortunately, you know, it's a totalitarian regime. Sometimes the poor guy who did not actually meant to offend gets seen as an offending guy and in fact gets removed from the web page. There are stories on the web about how some people actually completely lost their business because of the link dance. They no longer in the top 10, they became in the top 1,000. Okay? So then what do? So you sue Google. Right? So how dare you do this? You said you would not change the web matrix. And this is the way the web matrix is. How come you're doing this? And then, of course, lawyers will get busy. And, you know, you can go and read what happened to Search King. Thankfully, even in United States of America, the laws basically said, sorry, Search King doesn't have a God-given right to make a nice little business by essentially selling this. So Google does have its rights. I mean, the search engines do have their rights to recompute because they never said PageRank means anything. You decided it means something. Okay? And so there is no guarantee. You didn't pay for it, so they can do anything they want. If government did it, then it's a different deal. Then we'll start yelling at them. Okay? So we'll stop here. Next class, when I come back, I will talk a little bit about efficiency issues in PageRank computation and then move on to social networks.